Skip the ramen noodles. Don't even think about a frozen pizza. It's time to find out where you'll enjoy some drinks and dinner tonight.
Arizona Guy Fieri here from Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives on the Food Network. I hope you'll be listening to On the Menu Live with the Madman, Matt Russell.
On KNST.
And welcome, fellow foodies, to another exciting hour of radio. In fact, it's the most delicious hour on radio. You are listening to On the Menu Live on AM 790 KNST. And whether you're listening to us here on the radio on AM 790, perhaps you're listening to us live on our website, www.onthemenulive.com. Maybe you are one of the millions who is on live on the iHeartRadio network, streaming worldwide. No matter where you're listening to my voice, I am so glad you're here. And let me tell you what, fellow foodies, I am so glad you're here because I'm here. And when you find out where I am, you're going to want to join me because I am now broadcasting deep in the heart of happy hour at Penka. And Penka is at 50 East Broadway, and we are having a great time revitalizing an amazing downtown scene. Patricia Schwabe is going to be with us in the second half of the show, talking to us of what it is about this place, Penka, that actually caught the attention of Food and Wine magazine. In fact, it is one of the top bars in all of this great country, fellow foodies. That is not an easy ranking to get. Patricia's going to talk to us about what her secret is, but we are here in happy hour having a great time at Penka, and you don't want to miss the most exciting and delicious hour of culinary and cocktail talk. Now, as we scan the landscape of celebrity co-hosts each and every Saturday at 4 o'clock, there's so many people with so many things to say, and here she is. She's a writer with Tucson Guide, with Zagat, with Phoenix Magazine, with Sunset. If something tastes good, or if there's a cocktail that dances across your palate and it's quite memorable, Edie Girolam is going to write about it. Edie, how you doing?
I'm great, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing great. I mean, look, take a look around, Edie. We're at Penka.
I know. I said on Facebook, I said, is it a coincidence that one of the best bars in America that I'm here today? Not.
That's right. Just follow Edie wherever she goes. She only goes to the best. Let me just say that. Anyway, so
bars, Mexican food. I mean, come on.
That's right. You know,
winning combination
You can't get any better. And Luke and Brian behind the bar, they got a great happy hour going. There's great beer specials. There's great sangria specials. Wonderful specials on tacos and appetizers. And I just love this strip right on here on East Broadway.
Oh,
come on in, sit down,
amazing.
Have a cocktail. I absolutely love it. So you've been busy with the keyboard these days. I mean,
I have
so many things to write about. The first thing I want to talk about is we were honored here in Southern Arizona to be included in the Phoenix Magazine's list of the top 50 restaurants in all of the Grand Canyon State. And there's so many down here, and you wrote about it.
So many down here, and, you know, it would be hard to name all of them. I was just talking before about places a little bit outside in Southern Arizona, places like Overland Trout, which is brand new and very exciting, and Cafe Roca in Bisbee.
Right on.
And Elvira's in Sierra Vista, in Santa Cruz County, you know.
Of course.
That one.
Now, is that Elvira's or Elvira's?
Well, it used to be Elvira's when it was in Mexico.
Right.
Tubac, of course.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And here, you know, Sam Fox, 15 years of Wildflower. That's pretty exciting. And
success story,
still
indeed.
Great.
Yeah, amazing.
And
Chef Omar Huerta is a culinary icon at Wildflower. Great
absolutely.
Stuff.
So it was great to be able to celebrate some of the fantastic restaurants. And then there were, you know, the classics, Cafe Pococosa.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And, I can't even begin. Abbey, one of the new ones in the foothills. I mean,
the Abbey,
just,
right? Sunrise and Cold. So now, of the 50 restaurants in Arizona that made the top list of Phoenix Magazine, how many of the 50 were in Tucson?
15.
Or Southern Arizona. 15.
Yeah.
And is there one that was particularly surprising to you as a food writer? You know, of course, there is the expected on the spectrum, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so all of the great restaurants, certainly so many part of the Tucson Originals organization of independent, locally owned restaurants. But was there one that kind of surfaced at the top that might have been kind of surprising to those food readers?
Well, I think probably the biggest surprise was Proper because it's so new. It's less than a year old. And I thought about it, but they have such a great track record in Flagstaff with their restaurants there with Bricks and Criollo. Yo-Yo Latin Kitchen, and yes. I can say that five times fast.
And you haven't even had a cocktail
and
yet.
I haven't even had a cocktail
yet. You know, my son's a freshman at NAU, and we've loved to go up there and, you know, check in on the boy.
Right.
But we are celebrating all the great new restaurants up there in Flagstaff.
Absolutely.
Every time we go up there, it seems like there's a whole other place. The Tinderbox Kitchen, a great restaurant right there on San Francisco Street in Flagstaff. We had a great time.
Yeah.
So is the Phoenix Magazine issue on the stands now?
Yep, it's through January. Well, actually, I bet you can still find it around, and it's still online.
Great.
Yeah.
And so what's this Overland Trout thing all about? I mean, can you get a good trout in southern Arizona?
You can get a good trout. Overland Trout is, he used to be the chef at Quiescence at South Farm in Phoenix, and, you know, for 8 years, and he just decided to move to wine country. That's Chef Greg LaPrade.
Oh, sure.
And so he just opened this place on Main Street of Sonoyta and wants to market with the wine country in Sonoyta. And he has just made some really interesting, fantastic. He wants to define pretty much new Sonoran cuisine.
Nice.
Yeah.
You know, and we're going to be talking about sort of, you know, Mexico-style cuisine with Patricia Schwabe. You know,
that's
you've got the Sonoran, you got Northern Sonoran. Mm-hmm. It's all about Mexico City cuisine here.
You know,
and I got my brother-in-law is in town from New York. As a matter of fact, he's probably going to join us for the broadcast. And that was the first question he asked. He said, what do you mean by Mexico City-style cuisine? For someone from Westchester County, I thought Mexican food was Mexican food.
Well, exactly. That's one of the things that I learned when I moved here, just how many different styles there are. And, you know, we mostly have Sonoran, but we also have a lot of different dishes from all over. And that's one of the exciting things that I learned most about when I moved here from New York, which, you know, has a lot of great food. But for Mexican, you can't beat Tucson.
You can't beat Tucson. No. And for Mexico City style cuisine, you know, deep in its authenticity, I mean, Patricia's got this thing going on here with this penca menu that is off the hook, Edie.
Absolutely.
So you wrote about Overland Trout in this great new magazine, Edible Baja Arizona. Let me give a shout out to my good friend Jared McKinley, the associate publisher over there. Mm-hmm. This magazine is really being embraced by this community, hasn't
it? It's beautiful. It's nice to have, you know, these gorgeous pictures and to really focus on food. I mean, you know, it's not just restaurant reviews. It's in-depth articles about the food scene here, you know, from the ground up, literally. You know,
exactly.
What they plant.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, and I think that it's very exciting that people will finally know what's going on in, you know, in this area. So it's great.
It. Yeah. Edie Girolam, what are you working on right now? I mean, are you able to tease us a little bit with what you're reporting on, what you're covering now on the Tucson food scene? Can you give us a little hint as to what's going on as your fingers dance across the keyboard?
Well, I'm actually coming up with a story about what's happening on the downtown Tucson scene for Sunset Magazine.
For Sunset Magazine.
Yes.
Wonderful. Boy, yes. You know, they know who to come to if they want to get their finger on the pulse of the Tucson food scene.
Yep.
And there is so much happening downtown.
So much happening downtown.
I saw the Modern Streetcar doing a couple of test runs last week, and it's really happening.
Well, that's the tie-in for the story, that the streetcar is happening. I hope it's happening by the time the article comes out. That would be very embarrassing.
Well, I'm hearing that the first riders are going to be taking a ride around July, August-ish.
Okay, well... Hopefully the article's supposed to come out in October, November, so
great.
Fingers crossed that it'll all be smooth by then.
Anyway, celebrity food writer here in Southern Arizona, Edie Girolam, our celebrity co-host for the full hour. Always a blast hanging out with you.
Thank
We're going to be
Matt.
Doing some eating together. We're going to be doing some drinking together.
Yay.
If I can twist your arm, Edie.
Oh, it's a tough job, but, you know, somebody's got to do it. Besides you, Matt.
Of course. If there's anything left, I'll be happy to share. Anyway, we're going to take a quick commercial break and thank a couple of sponsors. And when we come back to our live broadcast from Penca, we're going to be talking about today, which is the first day of the Chinese New Year, and there's some things to keep into, you know, to be mindful of when you're thinking about eating mindfully as part of the Chinese New Year. And the president-elect of the Tucson Chinese Association is going to be joining us live with her idea about what you should eat. You're listening to AM 790 KNST. It's On the Menu Live with Matt Russell. Stick around. We'll be right back.
How's it going, Tucson? Jeff Morrow here from the Sandwich King on the Food Network. Thanks for listening to On the Menu Live. My buddy, Matt Russell.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It is Matt Russell broadcasting live deep in the heart of Happy Hour at Penka, 50 East Broadway, right down where all the action is downtown, with my celebrity co-host for the full hour, Tucson writer extraordinaire, Edie Girolam. Now, Edie, when we went away from the commercial break, we didn't have a cocktail.
No.
Now I can't count how many we have in front of us.
There are vast quantities of cocktails spread out in front of us.
Well, Brian Eichhorst and Luke Annable are going to be joining us in the next segment about this whole host, this cornucopia, this symphony of colors that has just landed on our table. And I think between you and I, we can take these down, Edie.
Oh. No question.
I love it. Well, listen, let me be the first to wish you, Edie Girolam, a happy Chinese New Year.
Well, thank you.
Last night, I think, was Chinese New Year's Eve, which is a big culinary moment here, not only in China, but across all of the states. And Southern Arizona really knows how to celebrate Chinese New Year like no other community. And here to tell us a little bit about what that means and what they have up their sleeve for some great culinary moments, she's the president-elect of the Tucson Chinese Association, and her name is Tina Lau. Tina, how are you?
Hi, you're Tina. Hello.
Oh, nice to have you, and Happy New Year.
Thank you very much. 马年快乐.
Okay, well, I was just going
to
ask you, how do you say
Happy New Year, of course?
The year of the horse, she says, Edie. Okay, so before we get into this...
Perfect rodeo.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Perfect time of the year.
Here, now,
Tina Lau, before we talk about this year of the horse dinner... and let me just say, let me demystify the idea here. They are not serving horse at the Westin La Paloma on February the 8th. But before we talk about the Year of the Horse dinner, what is the Year of the Horse? I mean, I'm a sheep, according to the Chinese zodiac, but what are the personality characteristics of the horse, Tina Lau?
Year of Horse people, very cheerful, very intelligent, very, popular among friends, a working place,
wow.
Anywhere. They're just popular.
I love it. I mean, it almost sounds like me, but I'm a sheep. What about you, Edie? Do you know where you are in the Chinese zodiac?
I think I'm a tiger, too.
All right, so I got a sheep between two tigers. That's my destiny. And 13 cocktails circling around me. But anyway, I understood, Tina, that when we're beginning the New Year celebration in the Chinese community, it's really all about... celebrating prosperity. And what are the kinds of foods that are kind of authentically traditional when the Chinese community is celebrating the New Year?
Okay, the Chinese New Year, there are so many foods. It's a sign of prosperity and for the full, a year of abundance for the coming year. So the Chinese New Year's Eve banquet has to be a lot of food. And there are two things of the must. One thing is a fish. The other thing is dumpling. So in Chinese, when we say we're having fish every year, Chinese say 年年有余. And fish, why is fish? Because fish, the pronunciation of fish, is a homoform of leftover. So when we have fish, meaning we have a very good year, we have a lot of leftover, we have to have a fish, and we don't finish it.
So
and, you
that's
know,
what we mean.
Serving fish is all in full. You need with
all
head,
in full.
Everything is a complete, not just like part of the fish. We have to have
okay,
the whole
fish,
head,
the eyes,
the
cabeza, and all that. Okay, now, Tina, you keep using this word leftovers. I'm not familiar with leftovers. I don't know what that means. I mean, would it be a
mean?
Violation
that
of...
Means- You have lots of money in your bank. You cannot use them all. It's left over. That's what we mean, the leftover. It's meaning you have so much that you cannot finish it. There will be a lot of good things left over for the country.
Very good. Very good. So, well, there's a lot of great things left over after your great celebration today. I understand you were just on the heels of the Tucson Chinese New Year Festival at the Tucson Chinese Cultural Center. I'm sure you had a record turnout at this wonderful event. We were so excited to hear about the turnout. But the celebration, Tina Lau, is not over yet because you've got a dinner coming up on February 8th that's all about the Year of the Horse. Tell us about what you have in store for February 8th up at the Westin La Paloma.
The February 8th at the West La Palomas is more like a fundraising event for us. It's a big celebration as well. We will serve food, of course. Food is always for Chinese any festival. And then we have some shows. some singing, dancing, and then we'll show people what the Chinese, Tucson Chinese Association do, what the Chinese Culture Center would do, and to the public, we have so many different programs.
Beautiful.
Like a,
and so
like
what's,
what's on
the menu for the Year of the Horse Dinner? I assured our audience that you will not be serving horse. So there was a collective sigh of relief. But what is on? What's going to be at the center of the plate at this great Chinese New Year dinner?
Well, for the February 8th, it's kind of Western, but it's I believe it's pork. We don't
Beautiful.
Eat pork. We eat pork.
Great.
Horse is also a famous cuisine in southern China too. Tell you the truth.
Oh, it is. Oh,
yes.
Goodness. We're going to have to expand our culinary. Landscape a little bit. So you get this great event, February 8th, beginning at 5 o'clock. You've got some auctions. You've got great dragon dances and authentic Chinese performances. You've got live entertainment. You've got this great, wonderful, sort of traditional Chinese dish. The whole thing is only $150, and I believe part of that is tax deductible since it's a fundraiser for the center. Is that correct?
Yes, it's $150 per ticket, $70 tax deductible. And the tickets available at the Tucson Chinese Culture Center at 1288 West River, which is on river close to La Canada.
Okay. And can people purchase their tickets online, Tina?
I don't know if they can purchase ticket online, though. But you can find
more
information at www.tucsonchinese.org. There will be a phone number there. Call them there. Make sure which way is the correct way to purchase your ticket if you want to join us.
Perfect. So it's TucsonChinese.org for all the information on the Year of the Horse Dinner, February the 8th at 5 p.m. at the Westin La Paloma Resort and Spa. I think a great way to keep the Chinese New Year celebration going. And as far as I'm concerned, Tina, the celebration should never end. So Happy New Year to you. Congratulations to the Tucson Chinese Cultural Center for all that you've done in educating this community about the wonderful Chinese traditions. And I wish you all the best of luck in this prosperous upcoming New Year, Tina.
Thank you so much, Matt. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Tina Lau with the Tucson Chinese Association. We're going to take another quick commercial break and thank another sponsor. And when we come back, we're going to dive in headfirst into these cocktails that have lovingly been put before us here at Penka. You're listening to On the Menu Live on AM 790 KNST.
Hey, all you barbecue pitmasters out there in Arizona. This is Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, and you're listening to On the Menu Live with my pal Matt Russell. It's the most delicious hour on radio, and it's only here on KNST.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It is Matt Russell broadcasting live deep in the heart of happy hour at Penka, 50 East Broadway, where all the action is downtown. And I'm here with my celebrity co-host for the full hour, Edie Girolam. I'm having a great time counting the cocktails that have just arrived.
I was going to say, you caught me with the drink just halfway towards my mouth.
Show some restraint for crying out loud, Edie Girolam.
Well,
anyway.
Now we're going to find out what...
Exactly. We're
going
to find out what all the magic is. And, you know, there are two people that are sitting here now that are partly responsible for elevating Penka to the national map, because I learned that not too long ago, Penka was named one of the top bars, in fact, one of the best bars in all of the country by Food & Wine magazine. And we've got two guys here telling us exactly how in the world that can happen. We've got Brian Eichhorst and we've got Luke Edible. How you guys doing?
Doing real well. Thanks for having us.
I mean, if I could do what you do every day for a living and get paid for it, I'd change jobs, for crying out loud, Luke.
Well, we have a great time. You're right. It's a great job.
I mean, this is fantastic. So what is the secret? I mean, you know how many great bars there are in this country. I mean, when I travel, and I do a lot of travel for business, the first thing I like to do when I enter a market is just go right on and find out where all the great whiskey bars are, where all the great local restaurants are. You know, I try to stay away from the big chains. This is not something easy to do, to get Penka on this map. And how long have you guys been open?
Almost a year now.
Almost a year.
Yeah,
so
agree.
What's the secret behind getting this huge ranking?
Well, I think the secret, like usual, is just attention to detail, fresh ingredients, historical knowledge, contemporary knowledge.
Interesting.
And then you just try to stay focused every day.
Now, you say historical knowledge and contemporary knowledge. And, Brian, I mean, I've been fascinated by sort of this renaissance of the classic cocktail here. Are you paying homage to that sort of community of people coming in here looking for a great sort of old-time classic cocktail that brings in maybe some of the old rise of old? Is this a place to come for a great cocktail like that?
Absolutely. It's always important to keep your foot kind of, you know, grounded in tradition, grounded in history. People making wonderful, delicious drinks for a long time. We kind of forgot about that for a few years, but now it's back. So we can start there and build from that.
And have you found, Luca Animal, that that your customers, your patrons, have become a little bit more discerning when it comes to cocktails? Have they become more, certainly more educated, but have they become more sophisticated as well?
I think so. And that's been great joy for Tucson. I think Tucson's really receptive to what we're doing right now, and we're all in it together.
Yeah, and I love, and it really is, when you say we're all in it together, it's absolutely true, because I love coming down here and watching you guys work. You know, you come down here on a busy Friday, you sit up at the bar, and, I mean, you guys have this dance all about you. I mean, and you've got, you know, this is great. Like you said, there are people that have great expectations and great demands for a great cocktail, but the way you execute with your fresh ingredients, as you talked about, and you're able to engage your patrons and answer questions, but just watching you work, it's almost like dinner and a show here at Banca.
We hear that a lot. It's a small bar, and I think the atmosphere is warm, is intimate, and it all fits together very well.
That's great. Well, these cocktails seem to be fitting together very well on the table, Brian Eichhorst. You brought over some cocktails for us to try. Now, I just had a beer. That's all I've had today. We were over at 1055 Brewing Company celebrating their first anniversary before we came over here. But where should we begin our cocktail flight, sir?
Let's start with the sangria, you know, start lighter and move to the more complex drinks as we go.
Okay. Have you tried this, Edie?
Not yet.
Okay, why don't you start?
Okay.
You know, ladies first.
Tell
us a little bit about the sangria, Brian.
Absolutely. This is sangria of Grenache. This has kind of become famous for our sangria so far. This is kind of our most traditional styled one. Fruit forward, easy drinking. It's based in kind of a Spanish-style sangria. So you have a Spanish brandy, sherry, classic Spanish sherry,
fantastic.
Dry Amontillado. Red wine, lemon juice, our house-made grapefruit cordial is kind of the fruity, sweet backbone with it.
House? Then, right, don't just throw that out and move on, Brian. Yeah. House-made grapefruit cordial?
Yep, so it's equal parts fresh-squeezed grapefruit juice, fresh-squeezed lemon juice, and honey. And then we cook that just below boiling point, just kind of meld all the flavors, get it all together. And then we re-put all the skins from the grapefruits that we juiced back into it and let that kind of steep overnight, get all the grapefruit oils reintroduced to the drink.
Amazing.
Yeah. He says it like it's just another day at Banca. I mean, I'm sitting here hanging on every word for crying out loud. You guys take your cocktail program seriously here.
We do, and it's rewarding. I think that's what we've seen is the more time and energy we put into it,
you
the
can
more
taste
we get
it.
Out.
You can absolutely taste it.
Thank
you so much.
That sherry, that compliment to that beautiful, sweet sherriness on that on that sangria is just absolutely gorgeous. All right, boy, where we go from here, guys?
I think we'll do the Bourbon Tepache next. This is a new cocktail for us right in the middle there.
Beautiful.
With the orange twist.
I'm going first because it's bourbon.
Yeah,
I'm a bourbon guy, Luke.
Cheers.
All right, talk about this.
Okay, so this is a bonded bourbon, a 100-proof bourbon that we like to use in cocktails.
Nice.
Feel it holds up a little bit better than a typical 80-proof. To that, we add Tepache, which is a kind of Mexican folk drink. It's a fermented pineapple beer, pineapple soda. So we fermented in-house. Fresh pineapple, distilled water, cane sugar, baking spice. We let that ferment for about 3 days. Then to that we add Mexican lager and a little organic cane sugar. We let that go for about 2 days. And then we add house pineapple vinegar to kind of give it acidity, stop the fermentation. And then we added bourbon because it kind of struck us as like a julepy or a derby drink, something like that. Fruity but not too sweet.
I challenge any other bar in town to put a splash of pineapple vinegar in their cocktail. I think that's an absolute exclusive to Panka, right, Luke?
I think so.
And what is this drink called?
Bourbon and Tepache.
Tepache.
And the bourbon is bottled in bond, again, 100 proof, aged for a minimum of 4 years in government-controlled warehouses.
Yeah,
we trust our government, Luke Edwell. That is an absolutely gorgeous drink. So I think we're going to have to save a little bit of time for our next segment because, you know, when Patricia Schwabe comes on, she's going to be bringing some food to the table. And I want to do some pairings with the cocktails and the food.
Sounds good. Anyway,
Brian Eichhorst and Luke Annibal, the guys behind the gold award-winning Panka Bar, so excited for you guys and so proud of everything you've accomplished. Keep up all the great work.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's our pleasure.
Thanks so much. We're going to take a quick Fox News break. Thank a sponsor or two. And when we come back, we're going to take you virtually. virtually to Mexico City. You don't want to miss this, fellow foodies. We'll be right back.
Spice up your Saturday night. He'll tell you where to have fun tonight. On the Menu with Matt Russell is on KNST.
Yes, we're going to tell you exactly where to have fun tonight because I'm having too much fun for one person to have. I'm sharing some of my fun with our celebrity co-host, Edie Girolam.
Yeah, you've been hogging those cocktails, Matt.
You know, it's my show, Edie. I can do whatever I want.
Yeah.
But anyway, I always feel like a rock star every time I come into Penka, which is exactly where we're broadcasting from today. Again, 50 East Broadway. Happy hour goes all the way up until 5:30. They got great beer specials. They got great sangria specials. And we tried an off-the-hook sangria here tonight. Some great taco specials, some other appetizers. We absolutely love coming down here to Penka, not only because Food & Wine magazine called them one of the best bars in all of the United States, but because you just feel like family every time you come in here.
Absolutely.
Isn't this amazing?
Yeah, if your family had this, you know, gorgeous open space with brick walls.
Exactly.
Well, very sophisticated family, but it's really homey, too. You're right.
It is. Well, what a great segue, because our next guest is both sophisticated and, what did you say, gorgeous?
Homey. And gorgeous. And
gorgeous. Sophisticated and gorgeous. And here Absolutely. She is, the woman behind all of the majesty here at Penka. The Honorable Patricia Schwabe.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Bienvenidos a Penka.
Oh, I don't want it to end. I don't want it to end. I want nine more cocktails.
There you go.
And I want you to just sit with me and tell me these stories. Look, by the way, Brian Eichhorst and Luke Annable, what great guys to have on your team.
They are amazing. We've been so lucky to have them since the beginning, since the conception of the restaurant. We met Luke at the very, very beginning when we started thinking about having food and a bar. The recipes of the restaurant were recipes that I was comfortable with because they were very familiar to me and my family and my heart, but I wasn't sure about the bar. And Luke came along, and we had the same vision, and he shared my passion for quality ingredients and the love for what we do, and then you can see. I mean, they're great guys.
And we've seen, I mean, if there's one word I think that kind of weaves its way through everything here at Penka, I think when you say passion, it really, I mean, it's exhibited on the plate, it's exhibited in the glass, it's exhibited by when you're greeted at the door. I think your whole setting here is a manifestation of passion. What did you want Penka to be in this community when you sat down and sort of dreaming up this vision, this idea for this great restaurant downtown? What did you want Penka to be in Tucson?
Well, we had the great opportunity to have a great space that just needed something to happen in this great space.
Right.
We love food, so we knew we wanted to have a restaurant. The history of the building, it was from the 1930s. It had been a garage. It had been owned by the Graham brothers that built motors that then GM bought. And it had a great history, the building. So we really wanted that to come across. We didn't want to put phony stuff on the walls.
Right.
We just wanted to really bring back the history of the space. And with that, recapture the soul of the space.
Mm-hmm.
And the soul, now gets transmitted through the food and through the drinks. And I think that's something that the guests experience when they walk in. It's homey. It has a soul. The people that greet you, I don't know, you feel that they're really greeting you. They're friendly. They're honest about what they do. And we feel proud. I'm very proud of the staff.
That's great.
What we do.
What a beautiful thing to say. I think, you know, when you say honest, I mean, let's be honest. That's so true. And, you know, can't you tell when you come into another restaurant, when you don't have that sense of honesty and appreciation and value? I mean, and that's exactly what you get here at Penka.
And I think that's basic. We talk about it. I mean, we remind our staff we are here. We are thankful for the customers, the guests that we have. We try to be sincere and honest with what we do. And if we stay true to that, hopefully people appreciate that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, we mentioned earlier on in a segment, my brother-in-law, who lives in New York, is actually visiting Tucson this weekend. As a matter of fact, we will expect to see him come through the doors. And he asked me where we were going to be broadcasting from. And I told him, Penka. He says, what, is that a Mexican restaurant? I said, yeah, and Mexican restaurant, but sort of more Mexico City than Sonora. And then he sort of looked at me quizzically. Well, Mexican food is Mexican food, right? I said, you need to meet Patricia Schwabe. Talk a little bit about what Mexico City-inspired cuisine is all about when you kind of compare it with sort of the more traditional Sonoran that we get a lot of around here.
We border with Sonora. So really, Sonora's food is what we're we are used to having in Tucson and in Arizona, which is great. But it does have different flavors. They have different ingredients that they're able to use. Of course, now there's ingredients all year round everywhere. But Sonora traditionally had the beans, the red chile, chile colorado, the tortillas, the flour. Mexico City is a complete different terrain with different kinds of ingredients available, a lot more vegetables. Mm. So in Mexico City, you grew up with nopales, the prickly pear. You grew up with a lot of corn, different kinds of vegetables, a lot of squash, a lot of spinach-like leafy lettuces.
Right.
And so the variety of food and the way the food it gets prepared, I mean, it really... now I've lost my thought. I mean, it has to do with the landscape, right? And Mexico City is rich in vegetables, in different ingredients. So Mexico City food just has a lot more vegetables to me, has a lot more chiles that are in the culture that you can use, and it just has a lot of different ingredients.
And I would think that it would be, and this might be completely out of left field, but as a chef is concerned, I would think that Mexico City style cuisine would be a little bit more of a refreshing challenge to him or her in the kitchen when they're putting together a Mexico City dish versus something like you said, more Sonoran style, lots of cheese, lots of red sauce, chili colorado, that kind of thing. You'd think that there perhaps might be a little bit more of a, sort of a, an artistic expression.
Well, but the influence also of the Mexico food, I mean, you have the Aztec or the Indian traditional ingredients that merge with the Spanish tradition, that merge also with the French that were in Mexico, I mean, for many years. So we have all those cultures that kind of combine its talents. And
because Mexico City is such a sophisticated city with people from all over, you have a lot of different influences.
Good point.
Right.
Good point. So let's talk a little bit about your menu. I mean, I know you're going to be bringing out some things for us to try here in a few minutes, and for that I am eternally grateful, Patricia Schwabe. But talk about your menu. I mean, do you have sort of this classic architecture of the menu where there's some smaller plates, some starters, and then kind of working down into kind of the full-blown fare?
We have very basic starters. I think they're basic. We have pozole. We always have pozole, white pozole that is also traditional from that part of Mexico.
Yes.
Just cook very light. We use turkey broth. Simple but fresh and nice, and that's one of our ingredients or one of our soups that we always have. We have tacos, which we're very proud to make everything from the tortillas to every single sauce in-house. House-made
corn tortillas.
If you want flour, you can have flour too, but really corn tortillas, we make them, we press them. You ask for a taco, we go to the kitchen, they press it for you, they put it on the flat top, you get it.
And you can see that
and
right
you
here
can
from
see
the
that.
Bar area. Yeah.
So that makes the taco in itself a special taco. We have different kinds, carnitas, pork, we have turkey, we have one of our appetizers that is a bone marrow. So I guess the chef just brought some bone marrow.
I'm all a quiver.
Yes.
The chef just brought, you know, those are words. If I actually were to come up with words that are as romantic as anything else I've
bone
ever
marrow.
Read, the chef just brought you bone marrow.
Cheers.
I'm speechless. Okay. So you. I don't even know. Okay. Now she says, I don't even know how to put this into words. I'm going to take a picture of this for our Facebook page.
Please.
Because I want everybody to see what bone marrow looks like. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk a little bit about what it tastes like. And now is this... This certainly isn't a starter. I mean, this is like a Fred Flintstone dish here.
Just the middle.
It could be, but the middle is very common in Mexico. Maybe people don't know that, but we eat it in this presentation where we just put it in the oven, but also we eat it in soup. Mm-hmm. I used to love it when they used to cut it in round pieces, and then you eat the center, and yummy, yummy in a soup. We present it this way. We insert the bone marrow into a tortilla.
It's almost like butter. It's
it could be delicious. I mean, you want to try it, Matt?
I want to try this.
We open the tortilla. We put the bone marrow. We put a little bit of our. It's not a chimichurri, but it's like a green salsa base.
Would I be violating protocol, Patricia Schwabe, if I were to pick up the bone and just run my tongue straight through the canal?
Yes. Well, I don't know. You wouldn't be able to share with anybody else.
Yes. You would not.
Okay, so this is absolutely gorgeous. I mean, and I'm going to go in. So the protocol then, take your spoon.
scoop it out. I don't know how you say it. Scoop it out?
Scoop it out. Now,
and
you know what?
Put it in your tortilla. Put a little bit of the green sauce.
Okay, you know what? All he had to hear was bone marrow, and Alan Kaith from K-Gun9 on your side walks in. You know, it's like Celebrity Day. As long as it's cooked, Alan Kaith says. Okay, I am without words, Patricia, so I'm going to put some of these this beautiful green salsa that you've talked about.
And it's very mild.
Mm-hmm. All right, Edie, I'm going in.
Ooh, more food.
Oh, my goodness. Good heavens.
Lengua.
Ooh,
which
tongue.
Which means tongue.
Mm.
All right.
Which actually a lot of people come and tell me, I don't want to say older, but older people, they come and they say, my mom always cooked tongue.
It's
growing
more
up.
Traditional, isn't it?
Yes, and people say we're so glad to see tongue on the menu because my grandmother used to cook tongue, and then like people kind of didn't cook tongue for years, and now tongue is back.
Tongue is back, and thank goodness.
Thank goodness.
And the bone is back.
You know, bone
and
is
it's,
back.
And it's about
this
bones and tongues
fantastic.
So far here at Panko. Okay, this is a family show. Now, beautiful, decadent, rich,
isn't it?
Creamy marrow. Don't be afraid, fellow foodies.
Don't be afraid.
Don't
try it.
Be afraid. This is just, I mean, it's
fantastic.
I feel like I almost feel like I don't deserve this. Even.
Oh, you deserve it, Matt.
This
you deserve
is beautiful.
It.
You deserve it.
So now this is the femur.
And if you don't,
right? This
I
is
do.
The femur bone, largest bone in the cow's anatomy.
Cow.
This is a big bone filled with beautiful, rich, creamy marrow. What and a beautiful
good,
place to start.
And it's good that we use a bone marrow. I mean,
it's
I don't
healthy,
know.
Right?
Yes, it is healthy, and people sometimes get. Intimidated maybe by it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's the word.
Yeah, I think so.
But
it's different.
It's different, but I don't know. I'm very proud that we have it in our menu because I don't know if it's something that people should be able to try and have to their reach.
Popular item here on the Pinko menu.
It's popular, yeah. Especially late at night, people love it. People share it, and they share it and pair it with one of our great drinks or a glass of wine, and it's just perfect.
Okay, so we want to remind our listeners that Patricia Schwabe and her charity is going to be providing an opportunity for one of our listeners to come in to Panko on her. So, in other words, we're going to be doing a trivia question here in just about 5 minutes, and the first person to call in with the right answer to this week's trivia question is going to get a gift card to experience a little tongue, to experience a little marrow, to experience Patricia for themselves right here at Panko with some of these off-the-hook cocktails and these great house-made, scratch-made Mexico City-style dishes. So where do we go from the bone, Patricia?
Well, here we're going to try one of our tacos. Corn tortillas, black beans, poblano rice. Mm. So it's a green rice. And then it's served very simple with our cured onions, cilantro. And we really just want to let the flavors come through. We don't put too much on top. If you want more, you can add salsa. But they come simply served,
and you can taste
the flavors.
And I think that is, yeah, when you're thinking about this kind of style of cuisine, you want to avoid the temptation to just do a lot with it, right? Celebrate the simplicity, really, of these wonderful fresh flavors. So you can tell a house-made tortilla right away, can't you? I mean,
I think so.
Absolutely.
And then,
not to mention they're fresh and warm. So
fresh and warm.
Yes.
And when you pick it up and look what happens. It's malleable. Mm. It stays together. It doesn't flake. It doesn't break. It doesn't I'm not losing my toppings. So this is lengua.
Lengua.
Talk about the flavors of tongue.
Well, I don't know. Rich, intense.
Rich and intense, she says. I'm going.
Go for it. You tell me what you think.
It's one of the meats that I grew up with in New York, you know, for deli meats. So it's nice to see it back here in, you know, in this one.
And that's what I hear from people also from other cultures that tell me how in their different cultures tongue used to be cooked.
Absolutely.
Somebody said that their mom used to just boil it and cook it with no salt or pepper or anything, and that was hard to eat. But here we cook it with a little bit more than salt and pepper.
It's
so
intentionally seasoned. I think the texture is beautiful. I mean, when you think tongue, you might think really tough, you know, you really got to render this down. So it's got a really nice kind of resistance to it, but once you're in there, it's just beautifully tender. Mm. It's gorgeous meat, a gorgeous protein.
That resistance word was like a key word, huh? Resistance.
Resistance. Just a little bit of play.
So now tell me, do you have these dishes on the menu all the time?
Every day.
Do they rotate? Oh,
that tacos is every day.
Mm-hmm.
And then we do have specials, but right now, yeah, tacos, you can have the tongue, you can have cabeza. that is chic. You can have carnitas. This is carnitas. So this is more traditional. Sonora also has carnitas. Carnitas is served in the entire country, in Mexico. So it's pork.
You know, one of our returning celebrity co-hosts, John Farlow, when he heard we were going to be broadcasting live from Penca, he said carnitas sits at the top of his list.
Well, good. A lot of people love carnitas. It's a happy hour special that everybody loves. Also late night. We get a lot of people. They go to a show at the Fox or a show at the Temple, and then they come for their carnitas tacos.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, roll up their sleeves and just go to town. Yeah. I didn't know you could do much past the tongue. I mean, I almost don't want to. I don't want to do anything with that beautiful taste that I have in my mouth. But
you'll force yourself.
But John Farlow says
have
I have to
sacrifice
try the carnitas.
Yeah, I don't think that'll be a hard one.
Did you like the tongue, Edie?
Oh, I loved it. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Okay, the carnitas. So this is pork. Now, is this loin? Is this shoulder? What part? It's probably shoulder because it's.
It's probably shoulder, probably, and I should know that.
It's slow braised.
It's slow cooked. Everything is slow cooked.
Mm. Oh, that's fantastic.
That has flavor.
Mm. It's like a crispy outside,
it's
too.
It's crispy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So one of the things I love about these tacos is the variety in texture and in temperature. So you've got these beautiful, warm, rich carnitas
and
with the cold, crunchy cabbage and the beautiful the ruby red pico. I mean, it's just you're hitting it on all of the areas here in something as profoundly simple as a taco.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
But again, the ingredients, just having good ingredients, having the tortillas,
makes a huge difference.
It just makes a big difference.
Okay, so we're gonna take time out right now to do a trivia question. We're gonna continue our eating. We're gonna come back with Patricia Schwabe, who's gonna be talking about some other things happening here at Penca, and talk about some other things that she's brought out for us to try. I think this needs to be a 2-hour show, Patricia. But anyway, we want to give an opportunity for one of our listeners to come in here and experience Penca for themselves. We want to remind you, if you've won in the last 30 days, please give someone else the opportunity to win. But anyway, what's a good trivia question for our callers this week?
I think a great question is, I would love to hear from somebody what the word Penca means.
Oh, perfect. Great question.
I've been wondering about
that. A lot
of
people ask us that, and I think everybody knows.
Okay, well, let's challenge our community to see if you know what the word Penca means. P-E-N-C-A,
right.
The name of the restaurant. What does Penca mean? If you think you
from
know
Mexicans.
The answer.
From
Mexicans, right. If you think you know the answer to the question, give us a call right here, right now at 880-KNST. That's 880-5678 for a chance to win a Penca gift card. Good luck. We'll be right back.
Do you realize how many fantastic restaurants are in Tucson? He's your cheat sheet. On the Menu with Matt Russell is on KNST.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It's Matt Russell broadcasting deep in the heart of happy hour here at Penca on 50 East Broadway. Having a great time kicking it into gear here for a great Saturday afternoon. We've had some great dishes. We've had some great cocktails. And Edie Girolam is our great celebrity co-host. I mean,
this is a tough one.
How can we begin? I know, this is a very tough one.
It is very
anyway,
tough.
The minute we went to a commercial, all of the lines lit up back at the Candice studio. So before we take our callers, one caller asked, what is the telephone number for Penca? Because I think they want to make reservations for tonight.
You know what? I should know it. 203-8970?
203-8970, maybe. Or go to pencarestaurante.com.
You know, phones do everything for you. The phones do everything for you. My number is safe. But yeah, go to pencarestaurante. All our information is online.
.com, right.
Or Google it, and it will come up immediately.
Yeah, you will find it. Anyway, so our trivia question of the week, again, we want to remind our listeners, for a chance to win a gift card to experience Penca for yourselves, what does the word Penca mean? And we're going to go right to line one and say hi to Kathleen. Kathleen, welcome to On the Menu Live.
Yes, hi.
Okay, I'm so glad you've tuned in, and I really want to give you this gift card, Kathleen. So all the world is listening now. What does the word Penca mean?
Well, Penca is the rib of an agave cactus.
The rib of an agave cactus, she says. Madam Judge?
Good job.
Kathleen.
Excellent answer.
Oh, my goodness, you nailed it.
You got it first time.
Congratulations. Now, Kathleen, let me just say.
But I want to know if she knew or she had to Google it.
I've been studying
be told,
Spanish
Kathleen.
For a couple of years now, but that's the word I had to look up.
Okay. Okay, but she has been studying Spanish.
Good.
Okay, well, listen, I was going to say, there's no way I would have known that. But anyway, Kathleen, congratulations. Thank you so much for listening, and thanks for calling. And you are in for a treat. You're going to come in to Penka, and I don't even know where to tell you to start.
She needs to introduce herself, too, when she comes.
Exactly.
I'd love to meet her.
Come on in. Ask for Patricia by name. Tell her you're the one that won the gift card, and you are going to have an amazing experience, Kathleen. Thank you so much for listening. Don't go away, because Cindy at the studio is going to get all your information. We're going to send that gift card out to you in a minute.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Kathleen. The rib of an agave plant, is that what she said?
Well, they call them ribs. You can also call them leaves, but if you want a little literal translation, it is the rib of the agave. They're called ribs.
Right.
And you cut the ribs, you cut the leaves, you get the heart, and then you cook the heart, and you get the tequila, and you get all these great drinks
and
that we enjoy.
And
that's a penca.
What a perfect name for what
I
you
think
have built
so,
down here.
Because it takes you back to the roots of Mexico, and I don't know, for me it's a special name.
How did you come up with it?
Oh, my gosh, we had list and list of names. And that there's a song that is a very, very traditional folklore song that talks about the penca del maguey. And that song kept coming to my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I just said, you know what? Penca sounds simple. People will remember it.
Perfect.
People will be able to pronounce it.
Mm-hmm.
Does it have any connotations of something else?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. We're happy. It works.
Perfect.
It absolutely works. Before we finish our tasting, hours of operation, are you doing full lunch, full dinner?
Full lunch, full dinners, happy hours, late night, close on Mondays.
You have a day off.
We have a day off.
And you deserve it.
And the staff, they work hard all week. We have a day off. But we're happy and ready to go Tuesdays. We open at 11. On Tuesdays, brunch starts at 10, Saturday and Sundays. Sundays, we close early. We close at 8.
Okay, brunch both Saturday and Sunday.
Yes.
Well, fantastic. You have a special brunch menu?
We have a special brunch menu. We have great drinks that we pair with the brunch menu. The sangrias that you try, the tempache that you try is yummy.
That's yummy, like everything here.
And when is your happy hour?
Happy hour is from 3 to 5:30.
Yep. Absolutely.
From every day?
Every day.
All right.
And it's beer and sangria and tacos.
There is great prices,
everything.
Great service. I don't know. Come and have a great time.
Absolutely.
So we've got a couple minutes left of all the items, and let me assure you, we're going to stay and continue our eating, but the show does end at 5 o'clock. What should we try while we have you on
the air? Well, we have a couple other things that we're also very proud of, the short ribs with a stone ground hominy.
I was wondering what that's fantastic.
That's just yummy, hearty. Great choice for just people that like a more intense dinner meal.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a Mexican grits kind of.
It's like a Mexican
cheesy
with a cheese.
Comfort.
And it's comfort, Mexican comfort.
Mm-hmm.
And the ribs are fantastic. And we serve it
I've
with
never
a
tasted that.
Calabacita, that is a Mexican squash.
Mm-hmm.
And then we need to skip to like our dish of honor, that is a chile nogada. That is very special to my heart because it's very traditional from Mexico City. It's a beautiful dish. It's stuffed with pork and also dried fruits and raisins and plantain.
Oh,
so it has this variety of flavors, a lot of layers.
And the gorgeous pomegranate.
And then it has a beautiful walnut sauce. Mm. That's where the Spanish tradition comes through, with a little bit of cherry. And then pomegranate on the top also represents the colors of our flag.
Oh.
So it has a lot of different stories that come along with the chile nogada. But to me, that's one of the most traditional dishes that we have in central Mexico. And it's very famous from Puebla. It's also served a lot in Mexico City. And it's just a staple of our traditional Mexico or central Mexico food.
And you don't see that around town very often.
I don't
often.
Think you see it very often.
I don't think I've seen
no,
it.
No, I don't. And you say walnut, a traditional Mexican.
So nogada, nogales,
yes.
Means walnut.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a chile and nogada, chile with walnut, so it's a walnut sauce.
I had no idea. I just learned
that.
So
we have walnuts in Mexico, too.
Okay, again, all of you are clamoring to see exactly what all this looks like. Yes, we've taken photos of everything. We're going to be putting them up on our Facebook page. Follow us on Facebook, on Twitter, on The Menu Live, on Instagram, on The Menu Live. And when it's all said and done and you get to dessert, how are you going to cap off this penca experience? We have 30 seconds.
We just need to have a warm churro served to you with a chocolate glaze. Fantastic. It just melts in your mouth.
Like everything here. It melts in your mouth. Even the tongue. It melts in my mouth. I mean, what a coincidence.
But churros is a great finale with our housemates, Kahlua.
Way to do it. Way to go. Well, anyway, right. Patricia Schwabe, thank you so much. Congratulations for all of your
thank you,
in this community. Yes. We will see you at Penka a lot, very frequently. Anyway, Edie Girolam, always a blast having
you
on this show. Anyway, follow Edie Girolam all across the social media map. She's there. If you missed any part of the show whatsoever, the entire show is going to be up on our website, onthemenulive.com, early next week. In the meantime, it's Matt Russell and Edie Girolam reminding you, if it's Saturday from 4 to 5, it's On the Menu Live.